This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Homeschooling with Technology show. Your host, Meryl Vandermeerva, loves using technology to streamline her life and to make lessons more engaging. She is a graduated homeschool mom and teaches homeschoolers at her local co-op classes and online at fundafundaacademy.com. Whether you are tech-challenged or someone who loves technology, this show is for you. And here's your host, Meryl Vandermeerva.
Hello, and welcome to the Homeschooling with Technology podcast. I'm your host, Meryl Vandermeerva, and today in episode 267, I'm going to be talking about comparing AI assistants. What I mean by AI assistants is basically the big language models, the large language models, the ones that you probably have heard about, ChatGPT being the most common. I am not going to be talking about all of them because there are now a lot, but just five that I am aware of and have been learning about and have been trying out. What I do want to say right up front is that I've been using these for the last few weeks in various different ways, and I am still in no way an expert on the differences between them all. They can all essentially do the same things, but some of the things they do better than others. And a lot of it's also just going to come down to preference. So to give you an analogy, wherever you live, if you're living in a large-ish city, you probably have a number of supermarkets near you. I know I have a Kroger, Publix, and not too far away, a Food City, Fresh Market, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, all of those are within about a 15-minute range of where I live. But I find myself gravitating to the same one most frequently. For me, it's Trader Joe's, which is not my closest, but I just don't like to shop, and it's small, and I just go in and I grab what I need, and it's perfect for my purposes. But different people, I mean, there's also like the big ones like Costco. We have a Costco near us too. Different people have different needs. And so they might find that while they go to Trader Joe's for a few things, Costco is their way to go because they have a huge family and they like to buy in bulk. So there's just a lot of reasons why you will pick something over another one that is nearby. And it's the same with AI assistants. I feel it's going to be what you are using it for, what you like, just the way it does things. And so the main takeaway I hope that you'll get from this episode is to go out and try and see for yourself, use them all, perhaps like I've done for a couple of weeks, and then slowly settle into the ones that you find are giving you the types of answers you're most wanting or doing the work in the way you most want it to do. Just like in my supermarket comparison, you know, there are also stores that I don't think of primarily as supermarkets, but they do have foodstuffs. So for instance, there is a Target near me. I very seldom will go and do a grocery shop at the Target. However, yesterday I was there to pick up some prizes for my co-op class for this week. And I also went by their grocery market section to pick up a few grocery items while I was in there. And so I would say that that is similar to something like Grammarly that now has Grammarly Go, which is the AI portion, which will actually also write you paragraphs in a similar way, you know, answer questions in a similar way to the other large language models that we're going to be talking about. Canva has something like that too, and so have a number of other resources that I use. But we're just going to be talking about five bigger ones. So the five I'm going to be talking about today are ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, Copilot, and Gemini. So ChatGPT is the original one from OpenAI that you are probably most familiar with. It was the one that burst onto the scene just over a year ago and got everybody excited about, or not excited about, AI, depending on where you come from in the whole AI scenario. It is still the one that I turn to the most often, but you will see that some of the other ones actually offer a lot more than ChatGPT does. But I do think ChatGPT on the whole does a good job, and I have a tab constantly open on my phone and on my laptop. Now, all of these I've tested largely on my laptop. as in the browser. Some of these do actually have apps. I have not used the apps, so I can't talk about how those differ. So ChatGPT, I've talked about a lot. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I'm going to move straight on to the next ones. But as I said, I won't lie, I still start with ChatGPT most of the time. Claude is the one that I like so far the most when it comes to writing something that I'm going to use, as in using their writing. So I've explained in the past how I use it for both podcast show notes. I also use it for letters of recommendation. I feel that its voice is more similar to mine. ChatGPT tends to be very excited about things. There's too many adverbs and adjectives, and I have to keep prompting it to calm down. And it's still, I then have to still go in and change up a lot of what it's written. Whereas Claude, I find I can use it a lot more just from what it gives me. So it's just like having two interns. Claude is just more my style, but it might not be yours depending on your own nature. I just don't write in very flowery language. So ChatGPT just feels very over the top to me. Claude also allows you to upload images that it can read. I tried this last night, and it's brought in a good reads like a recipe that was just a graphic, and so you could upload that and it will change it into text for you, and then obviously you can take the text and do whatever you need to with it. But you can actually put an image up and ask it questions about the image. Then moving on to Perplexity does not need a login. You can just, so which makes it quite nice if you don't want your children to create accounts with any of these. Perplexity is the one you can just send them to and they can just do it all without a login. Of course, because you're not logging in, it won't remember what you've asked before. So when I was looking back to see what I felt about everything, I realized I had not actually logged into Perplexity. And so it was difficult to remember exactly how it compared to the others. But I did find when I was doing, asking it questions, it was often shorter than the others. And so it wasn't always as useful for me. However, what it is very good at is summaries. And I've heard this repeatedly, and as I was doing my research, it came up as well, that if you've got like a lengthy, especially if it's a very long, maybe you've got, 10, 20 pages of some paper and you wanted to summarize it, maybe it's just too much for your children to read, and they just need something simpler, but you really like the way it's covered, Perplexity is a great one for you to use for that. It's also known to be actually really good at search. I know some people use it more than they use Google, whereas I must say I'm still using my Google and not Perplexity. The other thing I like about Perplexity is that after you've asked the question and it's answered for you, it gives you follow-up questions. So like when I was doing research for where we wanted to go over spring break, it would perhaps I'd say, I want to look for historical places in this area of Kentucky. It will then come up and say, you can like click on them at the bottom and would say like nature hikes near Kentucky, something like that. Something similar that I would think I might also be interested in. And then you just click that and it carries on. Now, it will say there that it's done by Copilot. And Copilot is the next one I'm going to be talking about. Copilot, and that's the follow-up questions. I'm not sure that I don't think the whole thing is done by Copilot. It's just Copilot, Perplexity uses Copilot's ability to have those follow-up suggestions. Copilot is the Microsoft product. I did not log in. I do have a Microsoft account, but I'm on a Mac, and so I don't really use Microsoft. And I didn't log in, and it will allow you to do a lot without being logged in to Microsoft. So again, it meant that I don't actually have records of what I'd asked it in the past, but it's quick and easy for me to try things out like that. So it also obviously has these suggestions for follow-up questions, just the same way that Perplexity does, but it also has a few more things. It has at the bottom there a little microphone so that you can do voice to text. If you have younger children, obviously this is really useful, or if you just don't like typing, you can just speak your questions in and it prints it, and then you just click a button and it gives you a response. It has the ability to read an image, but it also has an ability to read a file. So that's also useful if you want to upload a file and ask it, you know, questions of that file. So you could perhaps, you know, upload a PDF and ask it to create questions for your children to answer. Something that I think is really important if your children are using it to do any sort of research is that it does give sources so that you can get the information, but then also go and check that it really is correct and see where it got it from and make sure that these are credible sources, that ones that you want to use in a paper, etc. Once you are done, you can export what it has provided you with to Word, PDF, and text. Again, I think that's super useful. It has clickable links. So I have been using it to ask for things like, you know, find online interactive sites to use for World War II. So as I've been creating my world history class, this is often the one I go to when I just want it to come and tell me, you know, where I can find good resources. And I can just immediately click and get to wherever I want to and see if that is actually right or not. The others I've just mentioned will perhaps, if you ask, it will give you a URL, but they're not clickable. Otherwise, it just like describes what you're looking for and you've got to go and find it. So it's an extra step. The other thing is it will give you up-to-date news. The first three are still won't be able to give you anything that is happening currently because it doesn't have access to the most recent things on the internet. But Copilot does. And so like, I went and asked each of them what were the main news headings on January the 5th, 2024. And Copilot happily gave me the main headlines. And then to move on to Gemini. Gemini used to be called Bard, and this is from Google. It also has most of the options that Copilot has. I am a big Google user, so it just like logged me in automatically. I don't think I even had to do anything. It also allows voice to text. You can upload images. You can't upload files at this point, but you can upload images. Now, I discovered if I asked it for like online history games, it would sometimes give me links. Sometimes the links would be clickable and sometimes they weren't. So if you want to use it like that, I've discovered if I actually say, and please provide the URL, then it will give me a clickable link. But for some reason, whenever I was using Copilot, it just gave me clickable links and Gemini did not. It does give up-to-date news. The other thing is it will provide things in tables and also in graphs. You can ask it for a graph, you can ask it for a table, and it will give you both of those. So I thought that that is pretty fun. I haven't yet tried to get it to actually produce a table for me exactly the way I want it, but I do plan to try that as well. It gave me a table and it offered to that I could actually export it as a sheet, as a Google sheet. So if it gives you a whole lot of data and you want the data to be organized in a sheet, you can do that too. The other thing that it will do is you can ask it to create a picture, to create a graphic. I asked it, first of all, to create a graphic of, well, because the way the table came up, I was asking it to compare the pros and cons of living in the southern and northern hemisphere, and it just created me this little table. And so that's where, you know, it's kind of nice. And you could obviously screenshot that table and pop it into a research paper or whatever else if your children are using this. But then I said, make me a picture of, I asked for a graph and it gave me a graph, which doesn't make sense really in that context, but it did give me one. And then I said, give me a picture of a cold person. And it said, I can't make pictures. And if you been listening to any AI news recently, you will know that it had some issues with the people it was creating. So they've removed that while they're trying to sort out all the behind the scenes that needs to come right. But I then asked it to create a picture of a cold landscape, and it did that really well. So you can go and ask it to create your pictures, and it will give you four, which you can then just download. So it is using DALL-E, which is one of the image creation software, but it's all just there and it's all free and it's super easy to use. I think I'm most likely to be using Gemini a lot more going forward because it is more up to date if I'm wanting to know, you know, what's happened in the last year or so. And because it can create images as I'm going, and if I prompt it nicely, it gives me clickable links. So I suspect that that might be what I will use, but I know I'm going to keep using a few of them because what I have noticed is if I ask it, you know, I'll ask exactly the same prompt, I'll put it in each one. I will get some duplicates over them, you know, like history resources. But on the other hand, I will get different answers from them. So I want to know as much as possible. I want to see what's out there. So I'm going to keep using more than one when I have the time. I think I'll probably stick with Claude when, as I say, when I wanted to write, though, because I like the way it does that. One other interesting thing was I did ask each of them the same prompt to compare themselves, all five of them. And Perplexity was fairly just gave me the facts, but some of them definitely favored themselves, and I thought it was very interesting if perhaps you want to get your children to do this because you do see the bias coming through. One or two of them actually warned me about some of the others and told me that there was bias in the others and that, or that they weren't very accurate, but then made it out like they were more accurate and less biased. Now, all of these are trained on what is out there. I mean, they are literally trained on human intelligence. They aren't, you know, when we talk about artificial intelligence, I've said before, it's not like they are actually have natural intelligence. No, they're learning from us. We are all biased, no matter how hard we try not to be. We all come with certain perspectives in life, biases, etc. And so that's going to come through in these large language models. And you need your children to understand that. And just this very simple task of asking them to talk about each other, that came through. And so I found that fairly fascinating. So again, even just to combat biases, it's not a bad idea to use more than one because then you do get different perspectives and answers and you just get a bigger picture of whatever you're wanting to know, a different take on how it would even summarize something or write something. And I'm finding that whole concept very fascinating and something that I could suggest that homeschoolers, you could make some fun assignments for your children, which will teach them about AI and all the positives and also how to be cautious about it. I'm about to create an AI module in our computer applications class. So if you don't want to teach this yourself, do take a look at Funda Funda Academy, the show sponsor, their computer applications class. I might go in a time and even expand that to more than one module. I realize that every year I'm probably going to have to totally update that module because from year to year, AI is going to be changing so fast. But I will try to at least be up to date with the past year as to what's been happening and let the children play around with it a bit. That class is for 7th to 12th grade. We have a completely self-paced option, parent graded, or we have one that has weekly deadlines and we grade for you. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you found that interesting. If you did, please share it with a friend. Give us a rating and review on whichever podcast player you're using. That really does help us to get found. And that'll encourage me to keep going if you're finding this useful. Come and visit us in our Facebook group, the Homeschooling with Technology podcast community, and discuss how you are using these and what you're finding, because there's just so much. Obviously, just this is the tip of the iceberg that I have mentioned here. And I will see you again, same time, same place, next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Homeschooling with Technology with Meryl Vandemerva. Visit her at fundafundaacademy.com and homeschoolingwithtechnology.com. Homeschooling with Technology is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.